was just standing there thinking at the funeral when they were singing those songs, how it seemed that God's grace just fell on them to strengthen them and allow them to sing as family members for the passing of their own family member to be able to sing and minister. But I'm going to tell you, that's what grace is all about. We watch grace fall among the Bush family and Ellis family, and even the Smith family and their loss recently. And I'm just, there is, as the song says, there is no other word for grace than amazing. God's amazing grace. He gives us living grace. He gives us salvation grace. And He gives us dying grace. Amen. Take your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 55. Psalm 55. One of the songs that was sung is a favorite of mine, and a Sweet Hour of Prayer. What a song. What a story. Do you know that in most hymns are stories set to song? You understand that. And if it's not really a particular story with characters, it's a Bible truth. And so in Sweet Hour of Prayer, what's interesting is you have this message about prayer itself, but there's a story behind it. A lot of people don't realize this, but that song was written by a blind man, believe it or not. He was a blind preacher. His name was W.W. Walford. In 1845, yes, that song is that old. In 1845, he was known as a minister that was profound. He could not see, but he had all of the New Testament committed to memory, most of the book of Psalms, and most of the prophets committed to memory. But he was as blind as could be. The only living he made was he would take bone and ivory and he would carve it by hand, of course, into like shoehorns, things like that, little small objects that he would then sell, and that's where he got money to live off of. And an American reporter who happened to be in England heard about this blind preacher. And he decided to make an appointment and go meet him, so he did. And this reporter worked for the New York Observer. And in September of 1845, Thomas Salmon, the reporter, went and visited this preacher, and this is his account of it that was later printed in the New York Observer. He said this: "During my residence in Coleshill, Warwickshire, England, I became acquainted with W.W. Walford, the blind preacher, a man of obscure birth and connections and no education, but of strong mind and the most retentive memory. In the pulpit, he never failed to select a lesson well adapted to his subject, giving chapter and verse with utter precision and scarcely ever misplacing a word in his repetition of the Psalms, every part of the New Testament, the prophecies, and some of the histories, so as to have the reputation of knowing the whole Bible by heart. He actually, when I went over there, sat in the chimney corner, employing his mind in composing a sermon or two for Sabbath delivery, and his hands in cutting, shaping and polishing bones for shoehorns and other little useful implements. At intervals, he attempted poetry. On one occasion, paying him a visit, he repeated two or three pieces which he had composed, and having no friend at home to commit them to paper, he laid them up in the storehouse within his mind. One day he said to me, 'How will this do?' asked he, as he repeated the following lines with a complacent smile touched with some light lines of fear lest he be subject himself to criticism. He said, I rapidly copied the lines with my pencil as he uttered them and sent them in for insertion in the Observer, if you should think them worthy of preservation. Here are the lines he wrote: Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. And all four verses he laid out from memory, and the reporter wrote it as fast as he could. He sent it to the publisher, and remember what he said, if you should think these words worthy of preservation. And here we're in 2018. It was in 1845 he wrote it. Do you think they're worthy of keeping? Amen. But look in Psalm 55 with me, if you will, in verse 16 and 17. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Let's pray. Father, I bow in your presence and thank you for the opportunity to stand behind the sacred desk this morning. And Lord, thank you for these folks that are here to hear from you. And God, I don't want them to be disappointed. I don't want to be a pointless, powerless preacher. I need and want your anointing on this, God, that it will be a blessing. And God, I ask you to bless the hearers. And God, bless those that take it to heart, God, and use it, we pray. And thank you for your mercies. And God, we do again pray for these families that have experienced loss recently. Lord, we think of the Smith family, the Bushes, and Miss Ella's family as well, the Parkers, Greens, etc. We pray that you would help them. Thank you, God, for your mercies and grace. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You said so many things about Miss Ella being a prayer warrior. And I thought of nothing more fitting here as I prayed and asked God what he would have me to preach on than sweet hour of prayer. Prayer is the awesome, powerful, unused, often ungiven tool of God's people. I want you to know in this age of wonder still, there's no replacement for prayer. All of our electronic devices, all our tablets, all our smartphones, all our computers, there is nothing that can come close to matching prayer. I don't know how it works. If you've got it figured out, please share with me. I've only been preaching now for over 40 years, and I haven't got it figured out yet, brother. I just know this, that prayer works. It sounds cliche, but I'm telling you, prayer makes a difference. I don't understand how God takes something I say and able to move and change and manipulate circumstances and people to do what he would have done, but I'm telling you, I've seen him do it. If you're here and you've ever seen God move in an answer to prayer that you prayed, say amen.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, it's true. It's interesting, several years ago, Reader Digest had a small article, just a very small article, and it said this, and it caught my attention. It said that what they did is they wanted to check and see if there was any medical impact from prayer. And so what they did is a doctor, and it was surprising me they published this, but they did. It surprised me that a secular hospital did this, but they did. Here's what they did. They took a group of 393 patients at a San Francisco hospital and set them into two groups by drawing names. One group simply continued their medical treatment, their medicine, etc., without any prayer or any additional action. The second group of patients were listed by first name only and a short description of the need, and it was given to a group in a church to pray for them, assured that they did not know any of these people. So blindly praying by first name only and what the need was, this group prayed for this one half of the patients. The other half had no prayer. It was interesting. After 10 months, the results were dramatic. Neither group of patients were told that this was a scientific study until after it was completed. Fewer patients prayed for suffered from cardiac arrest. The prayed for group was 2.5 times less likely to suffer congestive heart failure. The prayed for group was 5 times less likely to have received any further antibiotics. And in spite of all of our advancements and all of our substitutes for prayer, the test showed that prayer affects people even when they don't know they're being prayed for. Amen. Jesus said, when you pray, go into your closet and pray. What he meant by that is just you and God. Just you and God. I can remember times I had a walk-in closet where I literally would go in all the way and bury myself in the back in the clothes and pour out my heart to God. And I'm telling you, I'm glad that when you're all by yourself, you're not all by yourself. Amen. And I've seen God work and move with just that. Again, I cannot explain it, but I'm telling you it's true. This great hymn that was written on the subject is an amazing outline to prayer. The first verse has the call to prayer that I just read to you. It says, it calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. I've had people tell me that they were driving down the road and all of a sudden they were impressed to pray for somebody. By the way, if that ever happens to you, pray. Because for some reason, God is calling you to pray for the needs about another person. Don't forsake doing it. Do it right then. Now, by the way, if you're on 24 in front of me, don't close your eyes when you pray, okay? There's too many folks doing that already, and I don't think they're praying. But I'm telling you, it makes a difference. If God impresses you to pray, pray. There's a need somewhere, and He wants your prayers. Now, I don't even understand that. He's God. Why does He want my prayers? I don't have all the answers to it, but I've got an inkling. Because you see, sometimes when God calls us to pray, He calls us out of His Word. In Matthew 6, it says, pray to thy Father. In 26 of Matthew, it says, chapter 26, it says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. In Luke 18, Jesus said, men ought always to pray. In Hebrews 4, the Bible says, let us come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. God's word calls you and me to pray. That's reason enough. But you go beyond that. Sometimes, as I said, it's God's Spirit. Now, I don't want to, if I use myself as an illustration, I don't want you to think I feel I've arrived. Because I can tell you right now, this is a broken man that's preaching a word from a great God, an awesome God, and I am a mere messenger. But this morning, very early, I was in bed. I was trying to finish my nightly nap. Any of you others take nightly naps? I call them that since I've gotten older. Since I've gotten older, I realize you don't sleep through the whole night. And if you do, you're either on drugs or there's a terrible mess to clean up in the morning. But I remember there was no other reason for me to get up. I'd already been through my nightly ritual, thank you. I was sound asleep and I woke up, well, probably a little after 5, feeling that I needed to go pray. Sometimes God uses His Word to call us to prayer, but other times He uses His Spirit to impress us and calls us to prayer. Sometimes I think God just wants to hear from His kids. My son will give me a call every once in a while. And I'll just be honest with you. He's down in Alabama. God bless him. God bless him. He's down in Alabama. And he'll call. And I can't tell you what that means to me. Now, ladies, by the way, your babies are going to grow up and they are going to move away. And when they do, you'll be glad when they call. You may be hollering at them now to get out of your hair, but one day you'll wish they were back. And so when you get that call, sometimes I wonder if God just wants to hear from me. He just wants me to come to Him. And by the way, one of the things in prayer that you can do is talk to Him like He's your Father. Because if you're a Christian, He is your Father. He is your Heavenly Father. You say, well, what do you call Him? Well, my dad is from Yugoslavia. My earthly dad's from Yugoslavia. And his nickname in Yugoslavian means little man. His name is Bato. That's his nickname. He was called Bato. And so sometimes we go to the house, and yesterday we went to check on him. I heard Connie Sue. She went in the door first, and she said, hi, Bato, how are you? And that's his nickname. Now, I don't know what your nickname is for God, and it's not irreverent. I call Him Papa. I call him Papa God. Because I know I can go to him no matter what. No matter what time, no matter what the topic, no matter my frame of mind, I can go to him. I call him Papa. Now, I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but I mean it in an intimate way, because God doesn't want our religion. He wants a relationship with us. He is our Father. It is our Father. Listen, there's a lot of folks that ought to live on Jerry Springer, I'm telling you. And I know there's some messed up dads out there. I've heard stories that are just almost unbelievable. But I want you to know, regardless of what your earthly father was like, your heavenly Father is amazingly interested in every detail of your life. Amen. And He loves you crazy. As a matter of fact, your picture's on His refrigerator, even when you color outside the lines. I can remember when my children were little, they would bring me pictures. And you're looking at it, it looks like something Picasso did, you know. You're kind of looking at it, and you'll go, what is that? Well, Dad, that's a unicorn. And I'd go, okay, it just looks like a blob of colors to me. But you know what I did with it? I went and put it on my refrigerator. And sometimes in life we mess up. Don't think God's up there with a big hammer wanting to squash you like a bug. No, He wants to draw you to Himself and forgive you of your sins by having a relationship with you through His Son Jesus. And so when He calls, sometimes He calls through His Word. Sometimes He calls through His Spirit. Sometimes He calls through other people. Have you ever had somebody in passing casually say to you, pray for me? You know what you ought to do? You ought to pray for them right then. I don't mean necessarily get down on your knees and go, oh, dear Heavenly Father, Most High God. I'm not talking about that. But what you do is when they ask you to pray for them right now, say this to them. If you're on the phone with them, say, well, let's pray right now. If you're with them face to face, say, well, let's pray right now. And just bow and pray. If they're not interested in praying right that second, as they walk away, you whisper a prayer for them. But pray for them. Because sometimes people will call us to pray. And by the way, let me say this. If somebody seriously calls on you to pray, you ought to count that as an honor. I see people post on Facebook all the time praying for you, and you know that the only praying that went on was when they typed it. But then there are others, you know, when they say it, praying for you, you know that they prayed for you. I will guarantee you, you know somebody, if they told you they're praying for you, you know that your name was taken before the throne of God. That's the kind of prayer warrior I want to be. I want to be the kind when people call on me to pray, they know that they're being prayed for. And not just one time, but often. I want to be known as a prayer warrior. Because you see, I may not financially be able to help many people, but I can tell you what I can do. I can bombard heaven on behalf of them, and God, who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, can answer prayers and take care of their needs. Amen. Sometimes it's the call of a lost world. You look and you shake your head at some of the things going on right here within sight of this church. In these hollers, the abuse, the drugs, the alcohol, the insanity going on right close to us. Not in somebody else's backyard, in our backyard. Not in some other county, in our county. When our county still leads in the state, is fourth in the state in sex trafficking, I'm telling you, we need Jesus. Amen? And I'll just be as kind as I can be. We don't need another church. We need Jesus. We need God to move in our county. How do you think God's going to do that? I'm going to tell you. When God's people get down to business with God and answer God's call to prayer from His Word, and God's call to prayer from His Holy Spirit, and God's call to prayer from other people, I'm going to tell you, this lost and dying world can get touched. I know people don't know the Lord, that every once in a while when it gets rough, you know what they'll say? Pray for me. And you know what you ought to do? Pray for them. Pray two things. Number one, God reach them that they might be saved and come to know you. Number two, answer your prayer if it's your will. And I will say this in all kindness. Some lost people, the last thing they need is God to answer the prayer the way they want it. Because because they've been taken care of and bailed out by some family members so many times, they've never hit rock bottom. But I got a God who specializes on people when they hit rock bottom, of lifting them out of the miry clay and setting them on the rock. Amen. Amen. Sometimes in prayer, what we need to do is not enable people, but bring them to God. Sometimes we need to pray for those that persecute us. Jesus said, pray for them that despitefully use you. Sometimes we need to pray for those who simply ask a basic interest in our prayer. Now, Satan looks at this whole prayer thing, and I found this poem, and I thought it was appropriate. It basically says this, just one line of the poem, not the whole poem, but it says, blessed is he who has no time to pray, for he will become easy prey. And the problem is today, a lot of God's people are neglecting prayer. So God has a call to prayer. Not only that, God has a cry of prayer. I don't know what your prayer life's like, and I can't speak for anybody but myself. But there have been times in my prayer life that, I'll be honest with you, it's been pretty dead. Pretty lifeless. Kind of like, now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. By the way, I'll tell you again, that's a creepy prayer to pray to a kid. Yeah, go to sleep, everything's fine, but you might die, so you better pray. That's not good. Well, I didn't get it. I was a little kid. I promise you, I was not a grown-up. And my mom was trying to teach me how to pray. We are Episcopalians. That's like Catholics with their brains knocked out. And I've told this to the church. They've heard this before, but you're going to hear it again because I want to tell you. I was being taught how to pray. And my mama taught me this prayer, Ronald. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, bless the bed that I lay on. That's what she taught me. Here's how I said it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, bless the bed that I went on. You know what's funny? I didn't get it right. But somehow in the middle of that, God understood what I meant. And God put it together, because what he did, even as a kid, I can remember God dealing with my heart. So God may have got a chuckle out of that too. But I'm here to tell you, I believe he heard that prayer, because it came from the heart. Years ago, up in the hills in the Swiss Alps, there was a shepherd boy, and his family would not allow him to go to school. They made him take care of the sheep. And what he did, he had somebody in the village teach him the ABCs. And in their village, they had a church that had a prayer book, and he couldn't read. So one Sunday afternoon, when he was up watching the sheep, one of the leading shepherds came up and heard something behind some bushes, and heard this little boy. And he was down there kneeling, and here's what he was doing. This is all he knew. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And went through the whole alphabet. And the shepherd reached over and grabbed him and said, boy, get out there and watch them sheep. He says, yes, sir. He said, what were you doing? He said, I was praying. He said, that ain't praying. He said, yes, it is. He said, I figured if I told God and gave God all the letters, he could spell out what I needed. So sometimes you may not feel like you're getting through, but you keep praying. Sometimes you don't even know what to say. The Bible says there are times when we are so broken that only thing we can do is ask the Holy Spirit to make groanings for us that can't be uttered. And he does. There's times when all you can do is cry. You ever been there? Where your eyeballs, man, were just about dried out, and your heart was broken, and your lip was quivering when you tried to talk. And I'm here to tell you, people may not be able to understand you when you're squalling, but God understands. He speaks and understands squall fluently. He gets it when we cry. When we cry out to him, and he hears us. And this verse says, sweet our prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear. To him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet our prayer. Sometimes we come before him with a cry of a burdened heart. The psalmist said, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The children of Israel, by the way, didn't escape Egypt. They were delivered because of their cry. The Bible says God heard their cry and delivered them. You know what's wrong with some people? They've never cried in their prayers. They're too dignified. They think you have to speak King James English when you go before God. Oh, thou most highest goddess that inhabiteth the heaveneth. That sounds more like Sylvester the cat to me. Those of you old enough know who I'm talking about. Listen to me. All you got to do, this is how hard it is. The psalmist David, one of the shortest prayers in the Bible, you know what he prayed? Help, Lord. God can take all the letters and put it together and spell out what you mean. He knows what's hurting your heart. He knows why you're broken. He knows what you need before you ask for it. But He wants us to tell Him, and He wants us to share our hearts. Now, I just asked you plain out. Don't you feel better sometimes when you just share what's on your heart? God knows that. He said, bring them to me. Give me your petitions. I'll take them. I'll carry them. Jesus said, take your burden. He said, cast it on me. Take that burden that's weighing you down and give it over to me. Let me carry it for you. I can remember my son, we were going fishing, and I was carrying a bucket, and we had a cast net in there and a bunch of weights. It was heavy, and he was little. He said, Daddy, I'll carry that bucket. I said, okay. I said, can I help a little bit? And he said, yeah. And so he's like this. I let him try to pick it up. He's groaning. You know, little ones have it so hard. Grunting and groaning, and I reached over one hand. I kind of picked it up. He still had both hands on it. I said, you got it, son? He goes, yeah, Daddy, I got it. I got it, Daddy. And I started walking with him a little faster. He goes, Daddy, this is not heavy at all. It's not bad. You know what? Because I was holding the bucket. And sometimes when your bucket's full and you can't take one more rock in it and it's too heavy, why don't you let the master get a hold of the handle and carry the bucket, and you just hang on and watch what he does. Sweet hour of prayer. The cry of prayer. Oh my goodness. In Salem, Kentucky, there was a zinc mine that caved in several years ago, and there were five men that were trapped for 53 hours. These men, every one of them, all five of these men knew Jesus. You know what they did for that time, that 53 hours? They prayed and they sang and they quoted Scripture. And this was interesting. They told people afterward that they prayed without ceasing for 53 hours. When they were found, they were still praying. Written on each man's helmet said this, listen carefully, if we are dead when you find us, we are all saved. Whew. Do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you're ready to meet God? Prayer can make the difference. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe in Christ and confess His name. In prayer, listen, we can come to know the Savior. The cry of beseeching hands. The cry of a bewildered mind. Have you ever been bewildered by life? Where you don't even know what to do? The Bible says, it says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And that's when, as I said, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession with us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Sometimes it's a cry of beseeching hands. Oh God, I don't know what to do. God says, I do. Come to me. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And finally, the consolation of prayer. I love this. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, may I thy consolation share till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height. Let me explain that to you. Moses was not allowed to go into the promised land. He got aggravated at the children of Israel. And he was supposed to speak to the rock that water would come out. What did he do? Any of you remember from Sunday school? He struck the rock. So he was not allowed to go into the promised land, but listen to what God did. God took him up to Mount Pisgah and allowed him to look over the promised land and see it before he died. Now listen to this verse of song again. Here's what it says. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, may I thy consolation share till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height I view my home and take my flight. this robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. It's not just meaning farewell to the earth. It's not just meaning farewell to the family and leaving a bow where they used to sit. There's nothing wrong with that. I think it's amazing. What it means is there's no more prayer. There's no prayer in heaven. You want to know why there's no prayer in heaven? You set your prayers up ahead. Not only that, when you're in heaven, you're face to face with God. You want something, just talk to Him. There's no need for prayer. His face is not hidden from you. When you're in heaven, it's there. It's the culmination of prayer. You're going to see the answer to your prayers that you prayed when you see folks you prayed for up in heaven with you. And when it says, farewell, farewell, sweet hour prayer, there'll be no need no more for the sweet hour prayer. You're going to be in the presence of the Father. Now, listen, I'm telling you, we need some people to step up, stand up, and take the place of Miss Ella, who is a prayer warrior. Will it be you? In your church, wherever you are, will you be a prayer warrior? The call's going forth and it's issuing out of my mouth to you today. God wants prayer warriors. You say, I don't know how to do it. Start praying and don't stop. Find you a place and get down there and start praying. It's about time we watch War Room again, I think. You see, the definition of prayer is simply talking to God. The problem is, the scripture says, for now we see through a glass darkly. It's not clear. But the rest of the verse says, but then face to face. It isn't clear right now. We don't know all that heaven is. But one day it's going to be crystal clear. And we're going to go, that makes perfect sense. Remember, right now, we're on the back side of the tapestry. And it's all knots and it doesn't always make sense and it's not a beautiful picture. Sometimes life is terrible, it's hard, and it hurts and we're broken and we cry. But one day our perspective's going to change and we're going to be on the other side and see the beautiful picture that God's been making all through your life. What does that picture look like for you? Is it heaven? I hope so. God help you if it's not heaven, because there's only one other place to go, and that's hell. People just loosely tell other people to go to hell and think that's okay. You got to understand the power you have in your tongue. You know that you have the power to lead people to heaven. You can't make them get saved. You can't make them believe on Jesus, but you have the power of your tongue to share life, but you also have the power to share death or not share life, which is death. The definition of prayer is simply talking to God. The destination of prayer is heaven. In 2 Kings, we have these words where God answered back and said, I have heard thy prayers. I have seen thy tears. What did he do? He answered them. He answered that prayer. He said, I've heard their cry, for I know their sorrows. And what is the destiny of prayer? Sometime, somewhere, somehow, the need for it's going to end. Miss Ella prayed to a God she knew, but had never seen. And now she's seeing the God she prayed to, and now she doesn't need to pray, because she's there. That's what it means, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. I'm not going to be here anymore. And God took her home in His time. God took little Brantley home. God took Todd, I believe, is that his name? Took Todd home. Listen, God is good in what He does, and I don't understand everything, but I know this. He is Lord, and I'm not. But I can bow here in the presence of God and talk to the Lord of the universe. I don't know about your life. I don't know what your needs are. But I know this, that God answers prayer. And God is calling you to pray to Him. Would you stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? I'm going to ask Brian to come. As he comes and plays softly a verse of invitation song, I want you to pray with me. Would you stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Father, we come before you today and thank you for your presence in this building. You said where two or three are gathered together in your name, you're in the midst. And God, we are so grateful that you're here. Church and anything else would be useless if you didn't show up. But we sense your presence here, God, and not in some spooky way, but God, in some divine way where peace is flowing into the hearts of those who have lost loved ones recently. God, the assurance that you do all things well. God, through the songs we've heard, the messages in those songs as they assured us, God, that there is a sweet hour of prayer, where there's coming a day where that hour will end for all of us. God, I'm asking you in this crowd this morning that you would speak to that heart that needs Jesus. They don't know for sure they're ready to meet you, God. This is their day. Help them to understand that you love them and sent your Son to die for them. That they would accept him as their Lord and Savior. They can know beyond a shadow of a doubt they're ready to meet you. Then there are some saints here that have been struggling. No doubt struggling in their Christian walk. And they just need to come and say, God, I just want to come to you and ask for your help, your strength. Then there are others that are burdened and broken, God, that need your touch. Oh, sweet hour of prayer. Oh, God, help them to come and just kneel and talk to you. Help them to cry from their heart, oh, Papa God. If you've got a need this morning, the altar's open, others have come. Don't be ashamed. We're all family here. You come and kneel. Simply pray in childlike faith. Say, oh God, I'm asking for your help. If that's you and you need to come, come right now. It's your time. Father, as we pray, we thank you, Lord, that you hear the prayers of your people. God, as we come and pour our hearts out to you, sometimes our prayers must sound like the shepherd boy. Just a bunch of letters, Lord, just flying out of our mouth. God, we don't even know what to pray for, really. But God, you put it all together because you know our hearts and you understand what we need. I'm praying for those here today that still are grieving, Father, that you would give them grace and strength. I pray for those that are here today that want victory in their personal lives and their walk with you. I'm praying for those, God, that are struggling with some financial need, some physical need, God, some emotional need. God, that you would meet that need and they would know it was you that did it. God, I'm asking you that you'd help them to be courageous enough to come before you and know that you love them. You said that anybody came to you and in no wise cast them out. God, help them have courage to come before you. God, if not here, right where they're standing, and if not where they're standing in their homes or behind their steering wheel, God, help them to come to you before it's too late. If they don't know you and if they're a child of yours, God, give them the grace to come and pray and to know they can come boldly before your throne anytime because you're their papa. And God, you want to hear from your children. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the prayers you are answering right now. God, help us not to let the televangelists scare us off away from prayer. God, I come before you and I rebuke those false teachers in your name. And I ask you to give courage to your people that they would pray like they've never prayed before. God, though no one may walk the aisle and stand up and say, I'm taking Miss Ella's place. God, may they walk in their house and take her place in their prayer closet. No one else may know about it here, but God, you'll know about it. God in heaven will know about it, and this world will know about it before much longer. God, would you help us all to pray more, to pray faithfully, to pray intently, to pray with purpose and passion. Oh God, break our hearts for our county, for around our community, God. Oh God, help us make a difference. Forgive us our sins and our shortcomings. Help us to live for you, God. Father, we'll be careful to give you the praise. And all God's people said, amen. Again, I want to commend you for being so good and listening so well today. But I want to commend you for your support for these families that have been going through it lately. God bless you. I'm telling you, they appreciate it. But also, pray for those that are out here that you may know that are going through stuff and we don't even know to pray for them. If you know, pray for them. Do what needs to be done in your prayer closet. Be the person God wants you to be. Call out to Him. My dear friend, before it's too late. Would you bow with me if you will? Yes. Will you bow with me if you will? And let's pray again for these families. Father, you have been good to all of us. And Lord, to see, Lord, in this room alone, how many people have been impacted by the hand of death. Lord, it's heartrending. But we have victory because we know that death is swallowed up in victory for God's people. Yes. And that death does not have the last word. And God, we are trusting in Jesus. I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward. Let's take up our National Rescue Mission offering before we're dismissed.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for letting us be here this morning, Lord. Yes. Lord, just ask that you, this money, Lord, and whatever need that needs to be kept, Lord, and whatever use that you see fair, Lord, just be with us as we leave here and go for our separate ways. In your name, amen.